again, please, number 112. And let's stand together as we sing "The Old Rugged Cross." 112.
Scripture reading.
Thank you, Mr. Bowman. Would you please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, John, chapter 6, and we'll read responsively verses 60 through the end of the chapter, verse 71. John 6, 60 to 71. Beginning on verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend thee? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. There are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this scripture that shares so much with us, the heart of man, and we pray now, Lord, as we come under the preaching of your word, Lord, that you'd teach us, Lord, strengthen us through it. I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit power upon our pastor as he ministers to us. Bless him as he blesses us. And I pray, Lord, for a spirit of unity here today under your teaching. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And I pray especially, Lord, for those that are hurting at this time, those that are sick. And, Lord, I ask that you just hold them close and comfort them as only you can. Thank you again, Lord, for your presence and love for us. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Mrs. Judy Judge.
Take your Bibles this morning, please turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, you've already read a parallel passage of this in John chapter 6. Let's look together at Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Appreciate it if you pray for Ida. She's been up sick all night, and I think maybe a touch of food poisoning or something because she has a lot of pain in her stomach. And just pray for her. I took her out to eat. I told her I can't take her out to eat anymore, if that's what's going to happen. So, Matthew chapter 16. We're so glad that you're here today, and we got some visitors, and want you to make them feel welcome. Make sure you get around to see everybody after the service. Matthew chapter 16. Look, if you will, in verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would use it to strengthen our lives. Help us today, we pray. Help us understand that this is God-breathed, that this is your message for us today. And so, Lord, may we more than ever before spend time in your word, that it might minister unto our hearts and lives. Father, help me. I pray that you fill me with thy Holy Spirit and use me today. I need your help desperately. And Lord, may the Spirit of God speak to each one of us. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16, we find in verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ had been ministering to people in the area of Caesarea Philippi. And as they came forth out of the coast of Caesarea Philippi, the Bible says that he asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? They had had much time as they were ministering, and we'll read, there's other passages of Scripture that indicates that they were even sent out to be a blessing and a help and to heal the sick and to cast out demons and such and perform the works of Christ. And so they had been mingling among the people. And of course, word got around, who was this Jesus? And the people had an opinion about who Jesus Christ was. And, I want to talk about that this morning. Do you know that your opinion is very important? Your opinion of something determines how you will treat it. You understand that? Now, I'm just looking around here. But Mr. Woody, I'm assuming you love your wife. Is that right? Now, how long have you folks been married? 52 years. When I asked him if he loved his wife, she nodded her head. But I think that's good that she knows that he loves her. But because you love her, you treat her differently than you treat everybody else, right? You don't let people talk to her a certain way, do you? That's your wife. You take care of that. Because he has a high opinion of her, he's going to treat her differently. He's going to treat her better. You know, the world has an opinion of Christ today, don't they? And because they have such a low opinion of who Jesus Christ is, his name has become a cuss word. His name is a name that we shout out when we get angry. We take his name and we drag it through the mud. We dishonor him. Not only do we dishonor him, we dishonor his house. This is the church that Christ built. It says in Matthew chapter 16 that he would build his church. And I'm here to suggest to you that if the world has such a low opinion of Christ, it's perhaps because we haven't shown them what a real high opinion of Christ will do in their lives. We need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that would build within us a high, exalted position in our lives that we might bring Him much honor and glory, that a lost and dying world might see it and want what we have. Our theme for this year, and it's been burning in my heart for quite some time now, is about having a high opinion of Jesus Christ. Lifting it up, I'm going to be honest with you, when I have a theme in a church, it's more for me than for anybody else. It's so that I may think on something for a year and pattern some messages. And when I'm reading Scripture, I'm thinking with this in mind that, do you understand that the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 just points to having a high opinion of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said that when He would leave this earth, that He would leave another Comforter, and that Comforter would come and He would testify of me and He would glorify me. In other words, He would lift up Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's function in your life is to bring glory to the Lord. You understand that? That's why I have a problem sometimes. Somebody will get up and say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit has led me to say this, and it's something that's totally against the Scripture. Or the Holy Spirit will cause somebody to foam at the mouth and roll in the aisle and lose control of themselves in a church service. As far as I've ever seen in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit brings more control. And the Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus Christ. The only time anybody was ever slain in the Spirit in the Bible was a demoniac boy that was rolling in the fire. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's function in your life is to bring glory to Him. And we too must, you know, with all that we can muster, bring as much glory to Jesus Christ as humanly possible. I want you to notice some things here today. Now, I said earlier, your opinion is very important. And let me clarify something here. Your opinion is important. And your opinion will determine how you treat the Lord Jesus Christ and how highly you might lift Him up in your life. But your opinion could still be wrong. Did you know that? Go out in the streets today and ask 100 different people, how do you go to heaven? And they'll give you 100 different opinions. Now, they can't all be right. And because they have an opinion about, maybe somebody might say, well, I just believe if you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. Well, if that is what they believe, then they're going to try harder to be a good person. If somebody says, well, I believe if you put a lot of money into charities and try to help people, and maybe cancer research or stroke and heart research, and if I put lots of money into that, maybe God will bless me and take me to heaven. And if they believe that, if that's their opinion, they're probably going to give a lot more money. Now, you can be wrong and have good intentions. Anybody that says I can go to heaven outside of faith in Jesus Christ is wrong. Doesn't matter what your opinion is in that case. It's still wrong. But your opinion about Jesus Christ matters a great deal. Because it'll determine how high you will lift Him up and exalt Him in your life. The Bible says in John chapter 16, I want you to look in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. I want you to notice, first of all, the report of the disciples this morning. You know, I think we find in this passage of Scripture some great compliments that were paid. Years ago, I had a fellow, I'm not trying to lift anything up that I shouldn't be lifting up. I just want you to understand, this fellow was such a gracious man, and he was an encourager. So don't, I took it with a grain of salt. But he used to come to, his name was Lloyd Ketchum, and he used to come to the church, and he was about 95 years old when he passed away, went home to be with the Lord, and he was a neat individual, very unique. He loved the Lord, and he was going to a meeting one morning, and he lived on the first floor of his home, of an apartment building, but he had a balcony, and the balcony had a rail that was about 3 feet high, three or four feet high, and then there was about a foot drop below that, so it was probably about 5 feet off the ground. Literally, at 93, 94, 95 years old, if he was going out, instead of going down the hall and walking around, he'd jump off his balcony. He'd put one hand and just with one leap, over he'd go and off down the street. I mean, he was spry. And one morning he got up and he said to his wife, I'm going to the prayer meeting this morning at the church. He says, I got a little bit of a chill. He said, I'm going to take a hot bath before I go. And 10 minutes later, she found him dead in the tub. The Lord just took him home that quickly. But he used to come to the services and have a good time, and his wife was, she was excited. She'd get going and you could hear her groaning a little bit. And then as the service get going, she'd start going, amen. Amen, preacher. Amen. And then finally she'd be shouting at the end of the service. They were a lot of fun. Well, Brother Ketchum, he stood there with a big old grin on his, and one day he came after and he says, preacher, he says, boy, that was a great message. He says, and he might have been old enough to hear him, I don't know. He says, you preach like D.L. Moody. Now, I took it with a grain of salt because he was a great encourager and he was trying to encourage a young preacher and I appreciated it. But, you know, that's a great compliment, isn't it? And I look in the Word of God, and when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? If somebody came back and said, well, you must be John the Baptist. Boy, from my perspective, that'd be pretty good. Well, what would you think, Paul? You preach the first Wednesday of December. What if somebody came and said, man, you preach like John the Baptist? And wouldn't that be great? Brother Glacky, you do a lot of hospital calls and stuff. How would you like if you went to the hospital call and when you left, somebody said, boy, I felt like the power of Elijah was on them. Wouldn't that be we understand where they're coming, but wouldn't that be a great compliment? Wouldn't that be nice to hear?
Brother Bowman, what if somebody said to you, you're like Jeremiah. You have such a compassion for people and you, and the weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10 says that the Lord came to him in verse 9. And in verse 10 it says he was going to give him the nations. And perhaps that's why the people thought this was Jeremiah reincarnated. Because he was going to be the ruler of the nations. And I look at these things and they say some other prophet. Wow, wouldn't that be a compliment? It would be a compliment to anybody in this room, but not to Jesus Christ. He's far above all of those. As a matter of fact, if any of those men, whether they be John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, the only reason they had any power at all is because it came from Jesus. It came from on high. Their power was given to them by God, and the Holy Spirit invested in their lives in a very unique and special way, and they were used of God to bring glory to Him. And so as they came back, the disciples reported, well, some say you're like John the Baptist, and some say you're like Jeremiah, and some say you're like Elijah, or some say you're maybe some other prophet. And so maybe there were some other names thrown out. Maybe somebody said, well, he sounds like Isaiah. He quoted Isaiah a lot, didn't he? Maybe he's like one of the other prophets, maybe Elisha or Moses, or maybe the great high priest Aaron. Maybe he's one of these men reincarnated. Can I say to you today that though that might be a compliment to you, to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was no compliment, for they were all dead men. They were all gone. It was no compliment to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now the Lord, as gracious as He was, He never got upset about it. He never got angry. He never said, well, that's an insult to my character. Don't they know who I am? I mean, I've been healing the sick and raising the dead and preaching liberty to the captives. And I've been healing blind eyes. And what is it that they think I am? He never got upset about it. Instead, he lovingly turned and he says, in verse 15, he saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? You know, for you and I, it would be no insult to be called one of the prophets, for he preached with such conviction. It would be no insult for us to be called Jeremiah, for Jeremiah wept over God's people and had a compassion. It'd be no insult for us to be called Elijah or John the Baptist, for they preached with power and they preached with love and they healed and helped people on a daily basis. But for Jesus, what he wanted to know is, what do you think of me? That's what everybody else is saying, and that's what the world thinks of me, and the people that we're trying to minister to, they lack understanding, and perhaps they don't know yet who I am, but you're the ones that have a relationship with me. You're the ones that walk around with me all the time, and I've sat down and I've ate with you, and we've sat around campfires at night, and we've shared family stories, and Peter, I even healed your mother-in-law. Somebody said one time that Peter was absolutely married. The Catholics claim he was never married, that he was the first pope. But you wouldn't want a mother-in-law if you didn't have a wife, would you? I mean, it's bad enough having a mother-in-law if you do have a wife. But he turns to Peter, or Peter maybe answers on behalf of all of them. He says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, that did not come because of the miracles, because all those people in Caesarea Philippi had seen the miracles too. It did not come because Jesus fed them on a hillside by blessing a couple fishes and some loaves. It did not come because of His teaching and because He could speak great things that could only come from God. It came because these men had a daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the disciples saw the very same things the people of Caesarea saw. The disciples saw the same healings that the people in Bethlehem or Nazareth partook of. They heard the same preaching of the Word of God. They knew of the prophecies the same way that the disciples did. But it was because I believe with all my heart the disciples spent more time with Jesus than anybody else. The conclusion of their heart was, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied to them when they came back with their report. Whom say ye that I am? The opinions of the masses could never save them. Do you understand that today? The opinions of the masses can never save you. Do you know that there's more people that have opinions of a work salvation than anybody else in the world probably? There's more people that believe you can go to heaven by being good than there are that believe that you must have salvation by faith through grace. There are. I was doing a Bible study years ago in an apartment building. And a fellow in our church lived in this building and on the west end of Hamilton, and it was quite a ways. And most of the people lived there. It was a Hamilton housing situation, and most of the people lived there didn't have cars, had no way to get to church. And so he said to me, he said, Pastor, would you come down on Tuesday mornings and do a Bible study? He says, they can't come to church. Let's bring church to them. I said, let's do it. And so we went down, and after a little while, we had about 25 people come to a Bible study every week. We were sharing the gospel with them. And there was this one guy, it got to the point after several weeks, you ever met somebody like that, you just kind of wish they didn't show up. He just came just to fight everything I said. I mean, literally, I just read John 3:16. He said, well, I don't agree with that. I said, why don't you agree with it? He says, well, God doesn't love this world. If God loved this world, then he'd just go on his little tirade. So I finally learned, don't ask why. If he says, I don't agree with that, just smile and nod and keep going. Just keep telling the truth. One day he said this. He says, well, he says, you know, the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest church in the world. He said, I think we ought to listen to them. That was his whole reason. That was his whole train of thought. Just because they're the biggest. Just because they have the most adherents. Just because they have the most churches around the world must mean they're right. Well, that's scary logic, isn't it? You know that somebody told me that for every person that lives on the face of the earth, there's 1 million insects? Well, maybe we ought to be worshiping them. Maybe we ought to let them have dominion over the earth because they're bigger than us. But God gave man dominion over the earth. You see, it doesn't matter who's bigger, who's better, or who's doing it a different way. It matters what God says. Doesn't matter what the masses think. And so when Jesus Christ was saying what I believe he was trying to teach his disciples, it doesn't matter what the masses think of me. What do you think of me? Your opinion matters. The regard that you hold me in and how high you're going to exalt me does not stem from what those people are saying. It stems from what you feel about me in your heart. That's the difference. I wonder if some of the disciples were walking back and they were meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how it happened, but maybe the Lord says, well, let's meet together on this day and we'll get together after you've done some work and ministered a little bit and we'll talk. Maybe a couple of them, maybe James and John are walking together and they say, hey, did you hear that fellow thought Jesus was John the Baptist? Now, we know better, but that's a good compliment. And James might have said back to him, well, I heard somebody say he's like Elijah. Huh. Well, maybe we ought to start treating him like John the Baptist. Maybe we should start thinking of him as Elijah. Maybe we should start regarding him and exalting him like he's a great prophet. But friends, that's only going to take you so high. But when you start thinking of him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as the creator and sustainer of this universe, that's a whole... I mean, I don't even know how to gauge it, to be honest with you. If we were to rank the top 10 prophets of all time, now, I don't know how you do that, I'm just being facetious, but maybe you'd say, well, I think John the Baptist is the goodbye because Jesus said there's none greater born among women, not a greater prophet ever than John the Baptist. Let's put John the Baptist number one. Maybe Elijah's number two, maybe Moses number three, and we'll just keep going with Jeremiah and Isaiah, and we just start making our top 10 list. Where do you put Jesus, friends? I don't even know how big the gap is before you can find him. He's so far removed and so much more exalted than any man. What is your opinion of him? The opinion of the masses could not save them. I think he was also trying to teach them in his reply when he said, whom say ye that I am? That he was pressing them for an individual response. Do you know today that salvation is a personal matter? Now when I say it's a personal matter, I don't mean that you should hide it. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, I was years ago, we had a youth pastor, I think his name was Scott Thomas. How many remember Scott Thomas? And I was out with him door knocking, and we were knocking on a door up near where you lived on Davis Street. And we're knocking on a door, and there was one of my school teachers lived up there. And we knocked on her door, and Brother Thomas began to share the gospel. She said hi to me, and we talked a little bit, and then he began to share the gospel with her. And she said, well, you know, my personal relationship with God is such a very personal thing, and I don't share that with anybody. I thought, you've missed the point. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross so you go bury Him in the ground, that you could hide Him from the world. But He says, let your light so shine before men. We are to show Him to a lost and dying world. So I want you to understand that though it is a personal response and it's a personal matter, your salvation, it's not so that you might hide it. It's not so you might keep it to yourself. It's so that you might glorify Him. But when I say that it's an individual and personal matter, friends, each one of you must make a decision what you will do with Jesus. Just because you came to Bethel Baptist Church today will not get you into heaven. Just because you're a member of a church and you can insert name here will not get you to heaven. Just because you're a good person or you believe you live in a Christian country or your parents were Christians and so you come from a Christian family, so to speak. Friends, everybody must make a personal decision. Jesus said, whom say ye that I am? Doesn't matter what the world thinks, I want to know what you think. And He pressed them for that personal response. Later on, He says to Peter, in verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Now the Catholic Church has taken that and twisted it and turned it over the years. And I don't have time tonight or this morning to explain what the Scripture really says about that. But I believe when He said, thou art Peter, He was letting the other disciples know, Peter's made a personal decision. And I'm speaking to him today. He didn't say, hey, fellas, because of what Peter said, I want you to know you're all safe and you're all home free. As a matter of fact, in the passage this morning that Pastor Galacki read with you this morning in John chapter 6, he says, haven't I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? They weren't all saved because of what Peter said. But he turned to Peter alone and he said, I want you to know, Peter, thou art Peter. I'm talking to you. And he says, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you. That's come from heaven. See, each one of us have to make a personal decision. Don't say you're a Baptist, a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Christian. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Make your decision and follow Him. And then I believe He was also trying to teach us in His reply when the Master said, whom say ye that I am? I believe He was trying to teach them the importance of having an opinion about Christ. You know, some of us don't have an opinion of Christ because we never take any time to think about Him. We don't spend enough time reading His Word to develop that relationship with Him. Now, I asked Mr. Woody this morning if I said, Mr. Woody, do you love your wife? And he nodded right away. He didn't. I'm glad you didn't think about it. You know, I was careful who I asked. You know, you got to be careful with those questions. But we ought to, when we're asked our opinion of Jesus, we ought to know. It ought to come to our heart. I mean, you ought to have a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, if you're going to have that relationship, it takes time to develop it. Christ is asking you today through the Scripture, whom say ye that I am? Can you answer it? What if somebody off the street came up to you and said, what about this Jesus? You go to Bethel Baptist Church and we see on the TV or on the internet and all they talk about is Jesus all the time. Every time I get a little piece of literature in my mailbox, it talks about God and going to heaven and trusting Jesus Christ. What about this Jesus? Friends, do you have an opinion of Him? Could you give an answer? The Bible is very clear. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I was in Bible college and I was helping a fellow paint condominiums. And it was in a, you know what a condo looks like, a townhouse. And they were three bedroom townhouses, had a finished basement, a living room, a kitchen, and three bedrooms and a bathroom upstairs, and a little half bath on the main floor. Just a typical little townhouse. And when somebody moved out, they were rental units, we had to go in and paint them. And they're all painted that contractor's beige. You know what color I'm talking about? And we had a 5-gallon pail, and we painted an entire place, all those rooms, ceiling, walls, everything, doors, in 4 hours. And so, needless to say, we just basically taped up the windows and went whoosh, threw it on the walls. And that, we had to do it. They told us as quickly as you can, get it painted. We just rolled it out. It was the same color going on. So we were doing that. And we walked in there and we got there a little bit early. And the guys, there were some guys in there. And they were to take off the light fixtures. And they were to take off the doorknobs. And they took off the light fixture covers and all the rest. And so they were in there working. And we were coming up. And so we couldn't do anything. So we started putting some drop cloths out a little bit. We were trying not to be in their way. And we started mixing up paint and getting our brushes ready and everything to go. And we finally got done. And they still weren't done. And we couldn't start painting. So we just sat on the stairs. And the guy I was with started singing. And he started singing one of the hymns. I don't even remember what it was. And the fellow came around the corner and he says, "How do you spell the name of them drugs you're on?" And without even dropping a second, he said, "J-E-S-U-S." I thought that's a good answer. We got to be ready. If your opinion of Christ is low and somebody asks you for hope or somebody asks you for help, how can you help them? But Jesus says, "Whom say ye that I am?" Do you have a big Lord or a small Lord? We pray sometimes like we got a small God, don't we? We pray and we say, "God, would you heal this person?" We go in the hallway and we say, "Boy, they're in trouble." That's not faith. You got a small God. Why not walk out in the hallway and say, "Hey, man, that was a great prayer meeting. I think God's going to heal them. I think God's going to do a work." We have a big Lord. What is your opinion of Christ? And then we see the response of Peter. Peter said in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I want you to notice that there is more to his response than just a confession of his faith. I want you to notice that Peter said, "I serve a living God." He didn't come from some dead prophet. He didn't come from some guy that lost his head. He didn't come from some bones that have been drying up in the ground. You came from a living God. That's our hope, isn't it? I just heard that song again the other day. I've shared it with you before. I really like it because the message is so simple. Don't try to tell me that God is dead. I just talked to Him this morning. I like that. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I was just with somebody not long ago. I can't remember, to be honest, who it is. Somebody in this room. And they were talking to somebody that was unsaved and they were sick or the family was sick and they were visiting and I happened to pop into the hospital at the same time. And somebody says, "Well, how do you know that this Jesus is real?" And the answer just came just like that. "You ask me how He knows He lives. He lives within my heart." I can't remember who said that, and I'm sorry. But thank you for that response. Peter was not just confessing his faith, but he was teaching us doctrine. He was saying Christ came from a living God, not a dead prophet. You know, this is where it becomes so very important. What we think about Jesus Christ determines every step we take in this life. Do you realize that? Everything we do is tempered by our opinion of Jesus. I mean, when you go to the store and you're picking out your clothing, you'll say, "You know what? That doesn't honor the Lord. I don't want that. That just reveals too much. Or that looks too much like what the world is doing." When you get your hair cut, now it's not hard for me anymore. But you might say, "You know what? That's a worldly looking fashion. I don't want to look like the kids in the public schools. I want to be different than the world. Because I have a high opinion of Christ. And I want to show forth His light." You know, it may not even be wrong to do some of the things you're doing, but you might say that might be a stumbling block to somebody else. I don't want to cause them to fall. I don't want to bring questions. Everything we do, every decision that we make, the things that we allow our children to do ought to be tempered by our opinion of Jesus Christ. Will that bring glory to Him? You say, "Is it that easy, preacher? Is it really that simple?" No, it's not simple at all, is it? Because if you will read in Matthew chapter 16 with me, Verse 16, the Bible says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." The word Barjona means came from a dove. That's peace. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock," the truth that he had just expressed, "I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed on heaven." Peter just made this great declaration of his faith. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus commends him. And he says, "Because of that truth that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that rock I will build my church." And he begins to exalt Peter and commend him for his wonderful profession of his faith. And then later on, just a couple of verses in verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Boy, it's not easy to always live right, is it? In just a matter of 4 or 5 verses, he's lifting up Peter's answer, and now he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He says to Peter, he says, "You need to be converted." He says, "Thou savorest not the things that be of God." And later on, he says, "When thou art converted." Wasn't he saved? Yeah, he was saved. But he still had some things to change in his life. But do you know how I believe he got there? It's because he had a high opinion of Christ in the first place. And he was willing to make those changes. Later on, he would deny the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times on the day he was crucified. But after that, he would preach to 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. He would see a man laying by the gate called Beautiful. And he'd say, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He wasn't there yet. But I believe he was able to get there because he had such a high opinion of who Christ was. One of the most telling verses of Scripture about Peter is this. When the cock crew, he went out and wept bitterly. So why? It didn't change the course of history. Jesus was going to be crucified anyway. Peter didn't contribute to that. He wept bitterly because he let his Lord down. Because the one that he held in such high esteem, he had disappointed. Let me ask you, who say ye that I am? What is your opinion of Jesus Christ? If you believe that Christ died for your sins, you will live in thankfulness and obedience. If you believe that you have a living God, you will live like you will one day stand before Him. If you believe in a living God, you will pray about your decisions. Verse 17 says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." If you don't have a very high opinion of Christ today, it's because it's not yet been revealed unto you. You need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Once you enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ and are reconciled to God the Father, and you can now be called a child of God, He will impart certain truths into your life. And one of them is who Jesus Christ really is. "Whom say ye that I am?" Let's pray together. Father, help us understand your word and speak to our hearts this morning, we pray. Father, help each one of us to make our decision. Help each one of us to weigh everything we do in our lives with our opinion of Jesus Christ. Father, speak to our hearts now, we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Stand to our feet.